Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. My name is Jason, one of the pastors here at Grace Community Church downtown, and we are so glad that you're here to worship with us tonight. As Matt said, to open our service, we're doing things a little bit different tonight for many reasons, but we knew there may be a smaller crowd tonight, so we thought, let's do kind of a family night with the kids here in the service at round tables. The kids can color. Some of the adults are coloring right now. That's fine. I won't call you out from up here, but we thought it would be a nice chance to just do a little bit more casual around the tables. We are going to have communion tonight, the breaking of bread, to remember what Christ has done for us, and we have coffee as well that you can partake in at any time during the service or afterwards. We thought it'd be a great night to have a family night here, so welcome. We're glad you're here. We're continuing on in our series in the Gospel of John, where we're taking a look at the life of Jesus. As Todd said, the scripture is on the back sheet of your lyric sheets there. Encourage you to follow along with the Bible in the Bible if you'd like. If you do not have a Bible, or if you'd like to use a Bible tonight, there are Bibles on the window wells in the first or the middle two windows here. We encourage you to grab a Bible. If you don't have one tonight, you can look through the verses. If you do not have a Bible, you can take that home with you. That is our gift to you, and we want to put God's word in your hand. We are going to do a little bit more of a condensed sermon tonight. We're going to be taking a look at John 15 and doing communion. The two, there's maybe a connection there that we can draw from the scripture in John 15, but we're just continuing on through the Gospel of John. We get to chapter 15, verses 1 through 11 tonight, so we'll take a brief look at those. I'll just warn you right now, I'm not going to be able to do those justice in the short time we have here. So a couple of things. Pastor Brooks preached the same scripture in a full sermon form this morning in North Liberty. You can check out the audio and video of that online if you'd like to check that out. Also, we're going to be talking about what it means to abide and walk in the Spirit. And we did an entire series a few years ago on that idea of abiding and producing fruit and seeing the Spirit's work in your life over 1 John. That was a 32-part series. So if you don't have anything to do this week, you can download that whole podcast and listen to 32 sermons on what we're about to talk about here tonight. So just a couple of disclaimers out there in case you feel like we weren't really able to do the text justice, because we probably won't. But we're going to do the best we can. We're going to jump in and talk about each of the verses here in John chapter 15. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you that you have not left us alone without your word, but that we can hear from you. Thank you that it's something we can rest in and rely on. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here as spiritual family. Thank you for the opportunities we've had with our biological family over the holidays, but we thank you that we can worship with the spiritual family. Thank you that we can break bread together tonight to remember what Christ has done for us. Father, we want to start out the new year living by your Spirit's power and not out of our strength and our power. We want to be reminded tonight of our positional relationship to you, Father, and because of what you have done for us, because of Christ's sacrifice, because of the indwelling work of the Spirit, we can see joy. We can produce fruit. And the fact that we abide in you is a fact because of what you have done for us. Help us to see that clearly. Help me to speak clearly. Help us to listen well have hearts that really believe what you say here tonight. In Christ's name, amen. So as we open up John 15, the last verse that you heard Todd read there was verse 11 of chapter 15. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full," or complete, "that you would have complete and full joy." Isn't that what we all hope for in the coming year? That's the idea behind New Year's resolutions. That's the idea behind... Hi, Elsa. I have a visitor up here. See, family service is great. You just never know what's going to happen. Complete joy, full joy. It's what we all want. It's what we look forward to over the holiday season. We talked about this on Christmas Eve, how sometimes that's more of a sentimentality or emotion that we're looking for, but we're looking for joy, we're looking for happiness. As we look to the coming year, I know I find myself thinking about, in 2015, I find myself being thankful for the ways God's provided, but I also find myself thinking, you know, I think I'm going to do this a little bit differently next year. I'm going to do this a little bit differently. I'm going to make these changes. Or you know what? January 1st, it's a great time to start a new habit. I'm going to go work out again. I'm going to open up the Bible every day. I'm going to start a reading plan. I'm going to read the whole Bible every day. And I'm going to start again on January 1st. Or we're going to stop things, habits that we feel like are unnecessary or negative in our life. The new year is a great time to do that. The reason that we do that is because we're looking for joy. We're looking for happiness. We're looking for contentment. We're looking for something that we look back at and say, we didn't have enough of that last year, so we're looking for more of it in the coming year. So when Jesus tells us he's offering us joy, we need to listen to what he says and how we can attain that joy. And we need to listen to it even more because it's coming from Jesus. It's coming from the author of life. It's coming from God himself. It's coming from the one that time and time again throughout this series through the Gospel of John, we've heard Jesus say, I live to do the will of the Father. When I speak, it's the Father speaking to you. I don't speak on my own authority, but I speak with the authority of God, the Creator. Jesus is hearing perfectly from God. He is perfectly walking in the Spirit at all times, and he has something to tell us about how we can experience more joy, and we should listen. So in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. When he says he is the true vine, I have to think that he's thinking about, because he knows, Jeremiah 2:21. In Jeremiah 2:21, God prophesies through Jeremiah, and he says to his people, he says, you have been like a wild shoot. You have been like a weed that went wherever it wanted. And he's saying, he's casting judgment on the people of God and saying, my people have not followed me. They've gone wherever they've wanted. Have you seen that weed in your yard? Have you seen that weed on your fence? Have you seen that weed in your grass that it just goes wherever it wants? That creeping Charlie that grows in your yard, that one day there's a 1 foot patch of it and the next day there's a 15 foot patch of it? God is telling his people, you've been like that. You've just gone wherever you wanted. I had a plan for you, but you went wherever you wanted to go. And then in Jeremiah 2:21, God prophesies through Jeremiah and says, but a true vine will grow up and bring life to my people. He's talking about Jesus. And Jesus is saying here that I am the true vine. I am true and you are unfaithful. I'm faithful and you are unfaithful. There's a number of different kinds of false vines that he's talking about here. We can imply this from what we've seen Jesus say and do throughout the Gospel of John and from what we know from Scripture, as well as what we see in our own life. So if he's the true vine, some untrue vines that he's referring to and comparing himself to would be, by implication, first off, ourself. We often think that we are the true vine, that joy and happiness and contentment and wisdom is defined by what we know and what we do. And even, hi. She's infatuated with me. We have our own wisdom. We define our own joy. And as we look back at the past year and as we look forward to 2016, we're making these judgments largely based on what we think is best. Well, it stands to reason I should probably work out more in 2016, especially after all the food that I've eaten from Thanksgiving to this point and plan to eat this week as well. I should probably work out more. That stands to reason. We could all stand to read more of the Bible, right? But we start to make judgments for ourselves of what is right and what is true for our lives. And a lot of times that has much more far-reaching implications and even negative implications than just simple New Year's resolutions. We think we know the way we should go, but Proverbs tells us that in the end, it only leads to death. So Jesus is saying he's the true vine, but we are an untrue vine. We are not faithful. We go our own way. Another untrue vine would be religiousness, religiosity, trying to live a sin-free life, trying to earn God's favor. We see Jesus chastising the religious folks who were judging people according to what they saw on the outside. We see untrue vines in religious, trying to earn God's favor, trying to live a religious life in order to earn God's love. That is an untrue vine. That is an untrue way to attain joy and happiness. It says this. It says, I will do what is right, and then God has to bless me. I will obey God, and then he has to give me joy. He has to give me happiness. He has to give me the things that I want if I'm doing what he asks me to do. That's an untrue vine. Another untrue vine is following other people, worshiping other people besides God, making an idol out of another human being. It could be a spouse. It could be an imaginary relationship that doesn't right now exist in our lives. It could be our kids. It could be our ministry situation, the people we're trying to help. We can make those things an idol. We can make those things our joy and our happiness instead of making Jesus the true vine. And it steals our joy. So Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. While you are unfaithful, I am always faithful. In me is where you can find joy and health. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There's a number of different ways we can take this verse 2, but a couple of different things that we can imply that it's saying and that we know that it's saying. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It seems like, from the rest of the text, not all theologians and scholars believe the same things on this, but it seems like from the rest of the text, what he's talking about is folks that are not believers. Branches being taken away and burnt away. Those seem to be people that are not abiding in him, that have not received the Spirit, that are not, Jesus is not their Lord and Savior. That's what it's talking about here. But then he has a word for those of us that are abiding, that are a follower of Jesus. And he says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Hebrews 12:6 says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Can you look back at a time in 2015 and look at a time where you think maybe the Lord was disciplining you? And maybe even if you can't articulate it that well, can you look back at things that happened this year that God allowed in his divine wisdom for your good and for his glory? Can you see those things? Can you look back at those things? Are you in something like that right now? Are you in a situation where you know God is using it, or maybe you know God is disciplining you, but it hurts? It doesn't feel good. This is telling us two things. Because of Hebrews 12:6 and because of what we read here in John 15, we can know two things. One, he loves you. The Lord disciplines those he loves. What does he do with the one that isn't bearing fruit, that isn't abiding in him? He casts it away. But the one he loves, he disciplines. He cares for us. He allows things to happen to us for a purpose. So we can know that he loves us, but we can also know that we will bear more fruit. We'll bear more fruit. Just like with a vine, you have to trim a vine. You have to trim a vine to keep it growing, to keep it healthy. You have to trim off the bad stuff in order that more fruit can be produced. Jesus is doing that in us. When he disciplines us, when he prunes us, when he changes us, particularly in hard situations, he is doing a good work. As I tell my testimony to people, I find myself talking about all the hard things that have happened to me and all the stupid things that I have done. Because in those moments is when God was doing his most profound work. It's very hard while we're in it to see it. It's very hard to rejoice while we're going through it. It's very hard to put a smile on our face and say, God is using this for my good. But as we look back, those are the times when he is doing his work and we will bear fruit and we can know that he loves us. Verses 3 and 4. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Jesus. This is some of the verses that I'm referring to when I say that the first part of chapter 2 is talking about an unbeliever, just so you know. But other things that this is talking about. He says, you're clean because of the word I have spoken to. What are the words that Jesus has spoken to them? He said what we referred to earlier, that everything he speaks with authority from God. When he speaks, he's speaking the very words of God. He always lives to do the will of the Father. He is always perfectly being led by the Spirit of God because he is fully man, but he is fully God. So we are made clean by his words, but what are his words ultimately talking about? His words ultimately are talking about the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, and the grace of what he is about to do on the cross, and what he would endure on the cross. If we look through the Gospel of John, we just keep seeing Jesus talk about where he is headed, and it's to the cross. And that's accelerating now that we're in the back half of the Gospel of John. But Jesus just keeps talking about what he must do. It's not about what we must do to clean ourselves up. It's about what he's about to do for them and for us. So when he says, you are clean by my words, it's not just by his teaching. It's also him talking about the sacrifice, the substitutionary atoning work that he would do on the cross. And because of that work, he's saying that you abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So here's what we can imply from that. When we are not producing fruit, meaning when we do not see the joy that Jesus is talking about, when we do not see the fruits of the Spirit taking place in our life, there's one of two things going on. Either one, we don't really know Jesus, meaning we're a religious person, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe you would not consider yourself a religious person. Or for many of us, we are religious people, we go to church, we may be able to say the right things or cognitively assent to the gospel, but we don't really believe it. So if we aren't producing fruit, maybe we're not a believer. Maybe we are a proclaimer with our lips, but maybe we don't really believe what we're saying. Or the other implication, if we don't see ourselves producing fruit, is we are not living out the reality of the Spirit living inside of us. When you and I are not producing fruit, when we are not seeing this complete joy, when we are not seeing the fruits of the Spirit displayed in our life, we are not living out positionally who we are in Christ. He's saying, you abide in me and I abide in you. And we know from chapter 14, what we talked about last week, that his Spirit lives inside of us. That because of Christ's finished work on the cross, his Spirit now lives in his people. Christmas is all about Jesus coming, God with man, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came and he lived on this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that you and I deserve. He rose from the grave, showing that he was God. And then he sends his Spirit to live in you. Christmas is about God with us, but the Spirit came and now God lives in us. God living in us. If God lives in us, we will produce fruit. So if we are not producing fruit, either his Spirit doesn't live in us or we're not letting his Spirit do the work that is intended to do. We are holding back the Spirit from doing what it wants to do in our life. We beg and we plead with God to change us. But ultimately, we are the ones holding his Spirit back from changing us. If his Spirit lives inside of you, you have everything you need for life and godliness right now. Right now. You don't have to read one more book. You don't have to go to one more Christian retreat. You don't have to understand one more thing theologically. If His Spirit lives inside of you, you have everything you need for the new year. You have everything you need for changing. You have everything you need to share your faith. We have everything we need with His Spirit living inside of us. Will we live it out? Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. How much are you trying to do without Jesus? What are you trying to do without Jesus? You know what I find myself doing in ministry, and I see us doing as we try to do ministry? We're trying to do supernatural things with man's power. And we get frustrated because of it. Why are we here at church? Why are we here? Surely we can find something better to do, right? We are here to worship God, to learn more about who He is, to experience the fellowship of believers, and proclaim who He is to our community and ultimately to our world. That is supernatural. Whatever you're here for tonight, whatever you want to see happen, it's a supernatural work. Do you want to grow in your faith? Supernatural work. Do you want to get to know this Jesus for the first time? That's a supernatural work. Do you want to share His love with our community and our world? That's a supernatural work. Are you just trying to survive one more day as a parent? That's a supernatural work. Are you trying to hold your marriage together? That's a supernatural work. These are supernatural works that we're trying to do in man's power. Even by doing our religious stuff, a lot of times we're doing it out of our power instead of pleading with the Spirit of God to do a supernatural work. I think one more book is all my anger needs. I think one more retreat is all my anxiety needs. I think the worship sounding a little bit better is all we need to reach the university community. Those are trying to do supernatural things out of man's power. We need to pray more as a church and as a people. And as your pastors, we need to pray more. In 2016, we are going to pray more. I can tell you that. I don't know what else is going to happen. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're going to pray more. Ryan will tell you more about this, but we're going to have a time of prayer after church here in a couple weeks, and there will be more where that came from as well. We need to ask God to do His work, because apart from Him, apart from His Spirit's power, we can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. Again, verse 2, that's what this is talking about. It's talking about unbelievers that are not in Christ. So, we need to realize that we already abide. I read these verses wrong for so long, and I bet some of you have too. And we think about abiding as being a temporary state. We use it in a strange way and say, I'm not abiding in the Spirit. We can use semantics or say it however we want, but if it depends on what we mean by that. If we mean that we're not letting the Spirit work in our life, by all means, then we can say that. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. This passage is not about people who are letting the Spirit work and people who are not. This passage is about unbelievers and believers. Believers abide. Unbelievers do not abide. Unbelievers cannot produce fruit. Believers produce fruit. So we need to understand that because of His work, because of His Spirit dwelling inside of us, we are currently abiding in Christ. Are we letting Him work? Are we letting His Spirit do its work? We need to do things in our life to help us realize our positional relationship to God and His Spirit and to Christ's work. That's why we take communion, to be reminded of the physical reality of the body broken, Christ's body broken. We believe that the bread and the juice are not His body, are not His blood. They're a reminder of those things, but we need to do physical things to remind us of the reality of what Christ has done for us. Because Christ came as a man. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And He really rose from the dead. He really rose from the dead. And if He really rose from the dead, it changes history and it changes our lives. And so every day as individuals, every week as a church, we need to be reminding each other what He physically did for us, the reality of His birth, the reality of the cross, the reality of the resurrection, the reality of His Spirit coming and living inside of us. James Smith, a philosopher at Calvin College, says that liturgies, meaning things that we do to remember the story of Christ, particularly in a worship service like this, liturgies aim our love to different ends precisely by training our hearts through our bodies. We train our hearts through our bodies what is important. What have our bodies done, and what have they trained our hearts to worship in 2015? We worship all kinds of things, and our bodies teach our hearts to worship all kinds of things. Will we be a people, and will this be a fresh start tonight, who use our bodies to teach our hearts to worship the one true God? And will we use our bodies to remind our hearts of our positional relationship, that we abide in the Father because of the work of the Son with His Spirit working inside of us? Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That whole idea in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We ask God for a lot of things. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus is saying something similar to Psalm 37, but we get it all mixed up because our desires are all mixed up. And so we ask God for a lot of things, as Jesus tells His disciples, to spend it on our passions. James talks about this too. We ask for things that we want, and we ask God for things to spend it on what we want to do. And what Jesus is saying here is, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What He's saying is, if we delight in Him, if we delight in the work He has done, we will ask for the things that He wants for us. We will ask for the things that our heart desires, and our heart will desire the same thing that His heart desires. That's what He's telling us here. He's saying if His words are abiding in us, if His words are what's changing us, if His work is what's changing us, if we're being reminded of that by the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, we can ask for the things that the Father wants for us, and we can ask Him to do things in 2016 that He wants to do for us, and we will bear much fruit. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. How do we desire the things of God? We remember the gospel. The Father loves us. He's shown us His love through Jesus. We abide in His love. We remember the love that God has for us. How do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do we love our neighbor as ourself? We remember where love comes from. It comes from the Father through the Son, and the Spirit reminds us of the grace and the love of the gospel. That's what we need to have joy. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Full, complete joy found in remembering the gospel. It's not about what we've done for God, it's about what he's done for us. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love, joy, peace, they all start with what Jesus has done for us. We take communion tonight, so our hands, our eyes, our lips, our tongues, and our stomachs remind us of the physical reality of what Christ has done for us. We need to set a course as people and as a church to do things with our bodies that will inform our heart about what is really worthy to be worshiped in 2016. So, let me give you some instructions for communion, and we'll do just that through the breaking of bread tonight. We want to invite you. The Lord's table is open to any who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take part in communion with us tonight. We will have a communion station right over here. One of our elders, Jeff Thompson, and our college ministry director, Ryan Simpson, will be administering the elements. You can line up right here in front of the stage and head this direction. Just line up here in front of the stage, go through the station, grab the juice and the bread, and head back to your table. And when everyone has received the elements, I will lead us through the rest of the time, and we'll partake together. So go ahead and come forward and join the line.